Moving on to the elections this week, voters across the country took to the polls, mostly for local elections, though a few gubernatorial contests were in play as well. And this election saw still more voters casting their ballots using electronic voting systems. The Help America Vote Act requires local officials to update their voting machines by 2006. So many states and municipalities are moving toward the switch. For example, in Ohio, half the counties used electronic systems this election, and the state's other half, the other counties, are set to make the switch next year. And while states are switching over, some observers are still worried about the security of the balloting, wondering whether electronic voting machines might be hacked into to change votes, or whether a printed paper ballot should still be generated by the voting computer so that votes can be tracked and recounted later. Joining me now is Avi Rubin. He's a professor of computer science and the technical director of the Information Security Institute at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. He's also director of a center called ACCURATE, a center for correct, usable, reliable, auditable, and transparent elections. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks. It's good to be back.
How would you rate the voting this time around, electronically, that is?
Well, you know, I think with electronic voting, it really comes down to transparency. You know, the Help America Vote Act moving many places to electronic voting was very well-meaning, but the problem really is you look at electronic voting machines, and it's very, very difficult to know what's going on inside them, and that's where some of the objections stem from. This time around, it was a very minor election. There were many places that here in Maryland, we didn't even have an election. And yet, you know, we hear in California that Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he got to the polls, was told he had already voted.
So, is that right?
That's right. There was a mix-up in the registration.
Explain how something like that could happen and some of these snafus that occurred this week.
Well, basically, anybody that's used computers or that uses them regularly knows that they crash, they have bugs, you know, they're not always
right.
The most reliable things. That said, I do think I am not against using electronics and using technology in elections. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I just think we have to be smart about how we do it. We have to use computers for what they're good at and not use them for things that they're dangerous for. So, for example, if you've got a computer and inside of the electrons of that computer is the only representation you have of how people have voted throughout the day, that's a risky thing. On the other hand, if you use a computer screen to display choices to a voter in different languages and in different ways or magnify the vote, that's good as long as you take some security measures. And one way to do that would be to use the computer part as an input device and then print out a paper ballot that the voter could verify and then keep those around for when recounts are needed.
So it's partially the problem of getting used to working with the machines because, I heard some issues about people just not even, pushing the wrong switch so that the voting was not recorded on the little magnetic strips and things like that. They didn't know which settings to put on some of the machines.
Right. Well, the challenge, there are many challenges that are created by electronic voting, and one of them is for the poll workers. I'm actually a poll worker myself, and we received these smart cards and a little device to program it, and I was shown, I went through a training session, but I was shown how to use the actual one about 5 minutes before the election. And, there are a lot of different things that have never existed before, and you have a very strained volunteer workforce in the polls. And so it adds to the complexity, and complexity is never good in a situation where you have so much at stake.
1-800-989-8255 is our number if you'd like to talk about the voting. Maybe you voted electronically, you have something to add to it. What's the timeline on this? By 2006, all the election districts have to be switched over?
I believe that's right. The places that are not using electronic voting are all switching towards it. The Election Assistance Commission has money from the Help America Vote Act to give that it doles out to the states to let them purchase this equipment. I should say that, initially a lot of these machines came out without any kind of voter verified paper record or anything like that, just fully electronic. And a lot of us have protested that and made a lot of progress. And it is the case that now, in this past election, 26 states had requirements, some kind of requirement for a voter-verified paper record.
Mm-hmm.
But, the
Sorry,
issue...
Hang on there. Avi, hang on to that thought because we have to take a break. And we'll come back and let you finish that thought, Avi Rubin, talking about voting issues this week where everybody voted, a lot of them in electronic ballots. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about voting technology. My guest is Avi Rubin, professor of computer science and the technical director of Information Security Institute at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. We were talking about the glitches and the snafus that might have occurred this week. And you were saying, Avi, when I rudely interrupted you.
That's okay. I was saying that it's interesting that when these machines first came out, they were fully computerized, and the security experts pointed out some of the risks of that and suggested voter-verified paper records. And what's interesting to me is that the debate now has shifted from should we have these things to what form should they take. And there are technical as well as legal challenges to that. Let me give you an example of a legal issue, which is some states have laws that require that when a recount is performed, it be performed with the exact same technology that the original count was performed. So what happens when you take a voting machine with a voter-verified paper record printer on it and you need to perform a recount? In that state, it's not legal to count the papers, which is the whole point of the voter-verified paper record. You have to count in the machine the exact same way the initial tally was counted. So the laws have some catching up to do. The technology has some catching up to do. And there are many different issues with respect to what sort of paper record should be used.
There are still people, and you read about these on the websites on the internet now, people who are still concerned about the ability or the possibility of people hacking through the phone lines, through the internet, into the computers and changing the tabulations inside the PCs.
Yeah, I'm not as concerned about that threat. I think, you know, most of these machines are not on any network. Most of them are not hooked up to phone lines. But I think that there is a real threat, which is that these computers were programmed by somebody. They were programmed by people, and people have different motives. And unlike in the old days with, the lever machines, which I'm no big fan of, but one of the things I did like was that you could videotape somebody setting all the levers, and you would be able to see that it was set correctly. Now, with these computers, when they're programmed, the person that writes that program basically is in control of the final outcome that that computer produces. And I think that the threat of a voting machine being rigged is much more serious than a voting machine being hacked into. I think the media likes to talk about hacking into these machines because we can relate to that with viruses and all these internet security problems. Here, the problem is different. It's the fact that you can't really tell what the logic that is going on inside of that voting machine is by looking at it because it's all computerized.
Yeah, and there was the threat idea was exacerbated by one of the executives at Diebold saying, you know, being a contributor to the Republican Party and saying, I think he said to the president in last election he would deliver votes from Ohio.
Right. The voting machine manufacturers haven't made things any easier for themselves. They've had several missteps. But the bottom line really is that we need to have technology that cannot allow someone to cheat. I don't think the Diebold CEO would have gotten in as much trouble if their machines were auditable, so that you would know that even if they wanted to cheat, the people building the machines couldn't have. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to move towards, is a technology that does not allow even the person who makes the machine to cheat.
Can we do that?
I think it can be done. I think today it requires the voter-verified paper record. After all, if the voters get a chance to look at the paper that's produced, and that paper is the authoritative ballot, then if the machine cheats, the voter will notice that the ballot didn't print with the correct candidate choices. Hmm. And so I think, you know, there is an emphasis on paper. It's a little ironic, you know, computer scientists promoting the use of paper, but that's because we understand just how easy it would be to cheat.
Right.
I actually do experiments of this in my courses at Johns Hopkins, where I have the students build voting machines with back doors in them or voting machines that cheat, and then try to discover the cheating in other people's machines, and they always have trouble doing it.
1-800-989-8255, talking with Avi Rubin. Our number, let's go to Ken in Cleveland. Hi, Ken. Ken, are you there? We're having trouble getting...
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, go ahead.
I agree with everything that's been said. I went to a meeting last week with the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections. That's the county that Cleveland's situated in. And I myself expressed pretty much the same concerns that you've just gone over. I found out that there will be a paper tape that comes out, you know, is printed excuse me, after each voter votes, and it will be the voter's responsibility to check that tape and make sure that what's printed on the tape corresponds to what the voter voted for. Now, I have one concern, two concerns. One is that the voter may not remember every item, you know, like, say, the judges and maybe all the issues won't remember to look. You know, it's like that scenario in a grocery store where things are being so scanned so fast you can't pick them all up. You know, you can't process all the information that's going on. Or you might not be able to remember all the people that, you know, that you voted for and all the issues.
Yeah.
Second thing is that it's ridiculously easy to produce a tape that corresponds with a rigged vote. So there should be some kind of way that the poll workers or the voters or somebody hand scribbles on the tape, you know, their initials or some kind of mark, so that nobody can, you know, later on just swap the tape that corresponds with a rigged vote.
They're keeping track.
Right.
The chain, right?
I think that these are some valid concerns that you bring up. And like I said earlier, it's nice that the debate is moving from whether or not we should have a paper trail to what kind of paper trail to have. I think the continuous paper tape has several weaknesses, one of which is that it preserves the order in which people voted. So if you are an observer and you see that so-and-so was the 15th person who voted on that machine, and then you get to look at the tape, you can tell how that person voted. There are other problems as well with the tape. I think it's a lot better than not having any kind of permanent record because it requires more effort for someone to cheat and sway the election. But there are better techniques, such as ballot marking, where the machine does nothing more than fill out a paper ballot that the voter then casts another way, and that can be counted on an optical scanner or by hand.
Well, so at least we're making slow progress here.
I think we are making progress, and I think the fact that more than half the states now require some form of a paper record is a tremendous progress from the 2004 election.
All right, Dr. Rubin, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Avi Rubin is professor of computer science and the technical director of the Information Security Institute at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore.